Well, for the next 3 weeks, I want to encourage us in the church vision of CBIBC. And our church vision is quite simple. We want to behold God. We want to belong to one another. And we want to be sent. We want to be people who truly behold God, know Him. We want to belong to one another in the local church deeply, using our gifts to build one another up. And we want to be sent to those around us, to our neighbors, and even to the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize it may be a bit strange for me to charge you with the church vision, considering it's some of my last weeks here. Pastor Nate will surely come to CBIBC with his own vision, and you should follow his lead. But I believe with all my heart that every church's vision should include these three things in some aspect, in some way that you might say it, and I think Nate would agree. You can call it what you will. Some churches say things like love God, love one another, and love your neighbor. Right? That's straight scripture. Some churches will say grow, serve, go. So there's many ways we can kind of articulate a church vision, but these three things are very important. Here's one Hong Kong church's vision statement on the screen. Said, to reach out to English speakers in Hong Kong by living and speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, trusting God to transform lives, deepen our faith, and use us to impact Hong Kong and beyond. It's a good church vision. I noticed that kind of missing in that church vision, though, was something about one another. Here's another one. Our vision is simple, they say. We want to grow big people. Now, if they only said that, it would be very vague. Through God's presence, His scriptures, and relationships with one another, we seek to help each person deepen their walk with God, that's behold, to become more like Jesus. Like the early church, we desire to build each other up in love, using our gifts to serve God and one another, that's belong, so that we would reflect Christ more fully in the spheres of influence He has placed us in. I think that's be sent. I like that. It's a good church vision. So really, if we look at churches all over the world, we look at people's websites, we'll see basically three dimensions to people's church vision, I would say, should see. One would be a vertical dimension, our relationship with God. We want to behold God. We want to know God. Horizontally, we want to belong to one another in the local church. Remember, Jesus said, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you love one another. And then an outward dimension or a centrifugal dimension, being sent as His witnesses. So I want to encourage us in these things in the next 3 weeks. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today. Lord, I pray that You will give me much grace, that I can be clear, that I can be encouraging. Pray that You would, by Your Spirit, empower me to preach a better sermon, that Your congregation here would hear a better sermon than the one I've prepared. So, Lord, I am nothing, You're everything. So we ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask three questions today as it pertains to the first point of our church vision, beholding God. And I will compare today, that's the same thing as knowing God. Three things I want us to look at. Number one, what are we seeking to behold? Number two, how do we behold God? And number three, what does beholding do for us? What are we seeking to behold, or who are we seeking to behold? How do we behold God? And then what does beholding do for us? Now, every time I've preached this church vision, I've used different texts because God's always working on me and showing me some different things as it pertains to knowing Him, beholding Him. And the Bible's full of texts. So I want to point us to Jeremiah today. Number one, what are we seeking to behold? Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. If you'll turn in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Let's read this again. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Wow. So here in this verse, these two verses, we have really life laid out for us in the world as we know it. Three things that we as humans pursue in our quest for happiness in life. I mean, any of us who are on social media of any form can see this. You don't have to look very far to see this. You don't have to look on social media. We can actually just look in our own hearts. First, he says, wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. I got good grades. I've got high marks, right? Maybe I post that online. I have a PhD. Many PhDs in here. I don't have a PhD. But maybe you have a PhD. That's okay. God says we shouldn't boast in that, though. Or maybe I published this article in this journal. Or I went to this school and I got this degree. Or I'm a person who people look to for advice. People want to know what I have to say about things. People value my opinion. Or so-and-so, this famous person, commented on one of my posts on Twitter. Makes me feel really good. Maybe I tell people, ooh, Elon Musk commented on something I said. Look at me. The world boasts in these things. Could be described as, look at me. Please, everybody, look here. Look at my wisdom and intelligence. God says, no. Well, what about might? Let not the mighty man boast in his might. I'm a sports lover. We see this so easily in sports, don't we? He runs faster than anyone. She jumps higher than anyone. Or such and such person is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We boast in our physical strength. Maybe we post pictures online of us benching 400 pounds. Or maybe we love MMA, that this person can beat up anyone with an undefeated record. But not just physical strength, maybe just abilities. I'm great. I can lead a company. I can grow a church. I've influenced many, many people to do this or that. I'm a strong person. We just look at history. Who does history regard as great? Those who conquered kingdoms. The world boasts in these things as well. It says, look at me. I'm strong. God says, no, don't boast in that. Well, what about riches? Let not the rich man boast in his riches, right? Easy to do. Look at us. We live in such and such place. We live in this neighborhood, this community. Or our kids go to this school. This expensive elite school is where our kids go. Or my kids got into this college. We can afford these things. Or maybe I drive this car. Or we can travel to these places and can boast or post about it. We live in a wealthy place here in Hong Kong, don't we? And easy for us to boast in our riches. The world boasts in these things, don't they? The world says, look at me. Everybody, look at me. All the things that I have. Look at my wealth and my luxury. Wisdom, might, and riches. That's what the world seeks after. That's the quest of many people's lives. You have those three things, you've made it. You're successful, right? I'm intelligent. I have a great degree. I went to good schools. I've got ability. And I have wealth. I am successful. Well, enter into this passage. God. God. Conjunctions are very powerful, are they not? Verse 24. But let him who boasts, so hard for me to say, let him who boasts, boast in this. In what? That he understands and knows me. A greater quest, a greater pursuit, a greater boast. Do you feel how strange that is in the world? In a world full of boasting and wisdom and might and riches, to be a person who says, no, the greatest pursuit of my life is to know God. To behold God. So let's stop and ask two questions right now before I continue. You might just want to ask yourself, what is the greatest pursuit of my life? What is the greatest pursuit of my life? What are you pursuing? Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands, she understands, and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. This is why the first and most important aspect of a church vision and life mission should be this, to behold God. Of all of the things that we could focus on, the number one is to behold, to know, and to love God Almighty. The greatest quest of our lives, to know God. Now, just pause and say here, it's Mother's Day. Mothers, have an encouraging challenge for you. What's your first task as a mother? It's not to love your kids. First task as a mother is what? To know God. Best thing you can do, mothers, for your kids, know God. Oh, how the world, the flesh, war against us to keep us from this pursuit. As creatures, we want to know our Creator, to understand and know Him, but it is a fight, isn't it? It's a fight not to give ourselves to a me-focused existence, even as Christians. On a daily basis, to not get sucked in to a life that's about me, but a life that is about God. My wisdom or my might or my riches, and not give ourselves to my God. So, number one, what are we to behold? What does it mean to behold? It means to see God, to know God, to love God. That is first and foremost. Well, how do we behold God? We can turn to many passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we all, with unveiled face," parallel here with Moses having a veil, remember? Took the veil off, said, "Show me your glory." "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." How do we behold God? What does it mean when this passage says, beholding the glory of the Lord, to see the glory of God? This word beholding is used only here. It means to see in a mirror or a glass or in a still lake. To be able to see a reflection. Not our own reflection. We don't want to see ourselves, but we want to see God. Well, what is the mirror? If I had a mirror here, which I don't, if I had a mirror here and I was looking in that mirror because I want to look into something in order to behold God, not myself, the mirror is the Scriptures. The gospel, but really the whole Scriptures. So picture a stand-up mirror. When I was growing up, we had a big round stand-up mirror that swiveled and you could stand there and see your whole self. Well, that mirror is the gospel. That mirror is all of the Scripture, which is the revelation of God by which we know Him. And as we stand there and we look into the Scripture, we don't see ourselves, but we see God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So the Scriptures, John 5:39 says, "It is the Scriptures that bear witness about me," Jesus says. So how do we know God? How do we behold God? It's not by laying in the driveway and trying to think about Him, but it's being in His Word and seeing Him and savoring Him. That's how we understand and know God. So, if we're never in God's Word, we're not going to understand and know God. We stare at His glory in the Scriptures. And that's how we know Him. If we are to understand and know the Lord God who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness, then we have to marinate in His Word. Just soak it up. See Him and behold Him. So what are we beholding? We're beholding God. We want to know our Creator. How do we do that? We know our Creator by being in His Word. Thirdly, what does beholding do for us? What happens? What happens when we are in God's Word? What happens when we are, when the utmost quest of our lives is to know God? What happens? Again, verse 18, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So what happens when we behold God? We're changed. This word transformation here means transfigured. Just as the word was used of Jesus being transfigured. We are, metamorphosis happens as we are in God's Word and we want to know Him and behold Him, see Him, know Him, love Him. As we study and as we read, the Spirit of God transforms us. And we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Don't you want that? Romans 12:2 says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does beholding do for us? We become like what we behold. We become like what we behold. So if our life's passion is to know God and we're in His Word, then He's transforming us into the image of Christ. But if in our lives we're beholding other things, seeking after wisdom or might or riches, or marinating in the trash of the world, we're going to become like that. It's no surprise, is it? Well, let me give you some application today. This is the quest of our lives as a church, and it is the quest of my life as an individual. Let me just say, make sure everybody understands something. I'm not saying that I feel like I'm personally have done a great job at this, personally or leading the church. This is the goal, and it's a goal we continue to strive for, even if we struggle. To understand and know God, that He is the Lord, is our goal. He practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. In these things, in steadfast love and justice and righteousness, He delights. It's only in our Creator that we will find true glory and true joy and true happiness. Psalm 16:11 tells us this: "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Think about that. Where is fullness of joy? Where is true pleasure? In the presence of God. Do you desire to understand and know God? Do you desire to understand and know God? Is that the utmost pursuit of your life? I'm not asking you if you're a Christian. I'm asking you if you are beholding Christ. Now, most of us know, probably all of us know, that this is how we are to live. If we ask everybody in the room, we would all say, of course. It's what I know I'm supposed to do. It's what I want. But we have some obstacles, don't we? Well, I can think of two obstacles, probably many more you can think of. Maybe at lunch today you can discuss some of those things. So why don't we behold God daily, regularly, on our own, with others? I can think of a few obstacles. Number one, one obstacle is a veil. Can't see because there's a veil over your face. Not like one of those sheer veils that you can see through, but like a real dark veil. Maybe Christ isn't glorious to you. Maybe you have no desire for Christ. Maybe you don't desire to behold God because you've never actually turned to the Lord to have the veil removed. My encouragement to you today is that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus will remove the veil and enable you to see His glory. Turn to Him today. Scripture says, repent and believe in the gospel. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Believe that He is coming again to judge the world, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He will remove the veil. Turn to Him, believe in Him today. I'd love to be able to talk to anybody about that sometime today. You can send me a message. I can meet you this week. We'd love to talk to you about how you can know Jesus Christ. So one obstacle is obvious, that there's a veil. Christ removes the veil. Secondly, maybe for us Christians, I think Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 give us a lot of insight. I know for me, this is so clear. Mark 4, 18 and 19 says this. It says, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choke the word. Chokes it out. We can't behold God. We're not seeking to know Him and understand Him and love Him because cares of the world just means just ordinary cares. Taking your kids to school and making sure people got clothes to wear and shoes and paying your bills and electric bills and your exams and 1,000 other things. That's real life. You're going to struggle your whole life with just ordinary cares of the world that come in and choke the word. Deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things. They choke the word out of our lives. And so we can't behold God. We can't spend time with Him. We can't know Him. We can't be in the word because the cares of the world are just consuming us. Well, what can we do? Well, depending on your situation, I have people ask me sometimes, like, how can I kind of get over this hump, or how can I do this? Get help. Get help from another brother or sister in Christ. Get account. None of us in this room, Pastor Billy would tell you himself, none of us can live in this life, no matter how long we've been a Christian, without others. We need other people around us to say, and just to be able to have accountability with people and say, hey, I'm struggling. I need help. Can you encourage me? Can you send me a message a couple times a week and say, how are you doing? Are you in the Word? Get help. Another thing that we need to do is we need to just, if you have weeds in your garden, what do? Pull them out, right? So there may be little things in your life you just need to cut it off. Cancel that Netflix subscription today. If that's a struggle for you, whatever it might be. The Lord calls us to repentance. Repentance is not something that we do once in our life. The Lord calls us to repentance continually. Today is the day to turn around, not chase wisdom, not chase might, not chase riches, not boast in those things, but to understand and know God. That's what it means to behold God. Chase Him. It's the greatest quest of our lives. No matter what vision through the years CBIVC has, that's one thing that remains. Let's pray together. Lord, I know that where words are many, sin is not absent. So, Lord, I pray that You will cover my tracks if I've said anything. As the snow covers, the deep snow is covered by the driving snow. Cover my tracks, Lord, if I've said anything today that's not been helpful or not been beneficial for Your church. And that only what is edifying and useful and biblically accurate, that only that would remain in people's minds and hearts. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for these passages. Jeremiah, pray, Lord, that they would sink into our souls. Bless my son. In Jesus' name, amen. He's having a tough time out there, it sounds like. Or whoever's watching him is really having a tough time.